Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Midwest Meltdown. It's your boy, Zach.
It's Josh. Today's episode is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Head on over to their site and apply today to become a member to be immediately connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And do not forget to tell them the Midwest Meltdown sent you.
All right, Josh, are you ready? We have another guest for our listeners.
We've been looking forward to this one for a long time.
This has been some time building up now. We're very excited for this. Ladies and gentlemen of the Midwest Meltdown, please put your hands together for who I believe is probably one of the best Twitch streamers right now. At me if I'm wrong. I don't care what you fucking say. Ladies and gentlemen, Laza, aka That Ginger Girl. What's going on, Laza?
Hello. Oh, can I just say, the two of you together, your voices, that intro, I'm melting. Like, this is so professional. You guys are so hot. I'm ready. Like, I'm so psyched just from the first, like, 30 seconds of that. I'm like, oh my God, let's go. I'm so ready. Hi. Hello, everybody.
Josh, energy is up. I love it.
That has to be it. I think that is what we're getting people on. I think people are like, oh, they can hear the professionalism. They're like, oh man, like it's got to be it. But yeah, we're glad we got you at least psyched in the first couple of 30 seconds there.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sold. This is the number one podcast currently streaming. Like, I believe it all. Like, I'm ready.
Oh, that's
hi, you guys. I know. Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I'm really excited. I've been really looking forward to this.
Of course.
Same here.
It's kind of been like I was getting it out a little bit beforehand, but I'm still kind of like fanboying out a little bit because I'm like, I'm a part of the OGC and I get to interview Laza, so everybody else can just suck it.
In their face.
I want to like jump in and be like, hey guys, did you interview Laza lately? Oh no, you did. I did. Yeah, me. Okay. This has definitely been building up for a little bit now. Yes, so we're very, very happy to have you on. So as I said, Laza, whenever we have a new guest on the show, we always like to give our listeners just kind of like a little bit of a deep dive, because obviously we are a gaming podcast. So we just want to know what sorts of games you find as your favorites. Which ones do you when you think of like your favorite games of all time? Obviously, I have a pretty good idea what number one could be, but I could be wrong. We want to know, what are those top five games? What are those games that, like I said, build up your gaming library as your favorites?
Yeah. I mean, look, if you know me, you know I don't like like the chosen path. I'm not going to choose like all the games everyone else likes, because I always like to be different. But the truth is, on the side, is that, like, you know, the past 10 years of my life, I've been super focused in my education, in my business. And so I think most of my intense gaming life, like, was mostly when I was a kid, and like that's when I really fell in love with it. So a lot of my top picks are the stuff that I kind of grew up with and that kind of got me into gaming. So I don't know if you want this in a particular order, but I'm going to kind of go from like then to now a little bit. But like, the first game I ever played and really got into was, you know, Lion King on Sega Genesis. Like, I'm not gonna lie, but that was it for me. I was like, whoa, this is so cool, and it's so hard, and like, it's one of those things that it was unnecessarily difficult, that game. You know, and it came out later that they did that for like a reason, and it was like a whole thing. But the fact that that was just unbeatable, and I loved it. I played with my brother, and you know, that was kind of the gateway drug to gaming, I think, for me.
How old were you when you played that?
Oh god, that was like 2000, so I was like 6, 7.
Okay, see, I feel like all those games around when I was that age were super fucking hard, and maybe it's because I was just, you know, like a child and stupid, but I remember I maybe beat like one game, you know, in like one out of every 50 games I played. I'm like, that's too hard, next game, that's too hard.
I never really felt about, like, it was the idea of beating it and just trying and trying and trying. Like, that's, like, most of my childhood was me, like, trying on a game. And that was, like, the best part. You know, I feel like we're a little spoiled now with, you know, with, like, Warzone. It's, like, getting, like, the dub several times a day. Like, I didn't get the Dobbin Lion King Sega Genesis. You know, I freaking worked hard for that. So they put me to work. But I think a lot of, like, you'll notice there's like a little bit of a trend when I was putting this list together for you guys. There's a little bit of a trend in the types of games I chose that I never fully realized. I just thought, you know, these are the games I played as a kid. But there a lot of them are like based in strategy and, you know, in trying again and like not giving up and like just like repetitive nature and behavior. I'm like, oh my God, this might have shaped who I am. And all these light bulbs have gone off and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have an existential crisis on this podcast. Like, it's going to be massive. But yeah, that was my first one.
Little did you know we charge by the hour, so just get comfortable on the couch there, lay down, get ready. We're about to dive really deep into the Mind Blast.
Oh my god, I'm ready.
And you know, well, it's funny too because I actually remember I also had my cousins had the Sega and they had Lion King as well. I actually looked up online; it is one of the harder games to beat on that platform. Like, I don't know why, but it was like if I looked at all these different lists, like it is one of the harder games. Which I was like, oh, that's actually kind of crazy now that I think about going back. I'm like, I don't think I ever beat it either.
But you know what I love is I remember when I first started streaming and I started my Instagram and I posted that because someone asked me, what was your very first game? And I said it. The amount of DMs I got from everyone that was like, that game was so hard for no reason. And I just like the collective consensus about how ridiculous that game was so strong. And I never realized because it was one of those, I was just so young that it wasn't one of those things that I like went to school and talked about. You know, it was a very much like me and my brother kind of situation. And so to post it publicly, like for the first time and have people like all be like, yeah, that game was ridiculous. I'm like, oh my gosh. It was
I'm not alone here.
Moments. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, do you want to know the next one?
Yes,
we do.
Okay, so this one's a little this one's close to my heart because there was a time in my life where after school every day I would go to my grandma's house and all the cousins would go, and there was only one game at grandma's house and it was Mario Kart. And we would all just sit around like waiting for our turn because there's so many cousins. And, you know, when it was your turn, it was like, yes, like this is so much fun. And then you'd sit and wait. And then, you know, so you'd play like once an hour. But like Mario Kart is like a huge nostalgic game for me that was really, really fun.
Mario Kart on the N64, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Did you guys ever do like any big battles? Because you could do like a 4-player battle in that game.
Probably. You know, this is, I mean, I want to be able to give you guys like all the things. I'm kind of just going off like the feeling of it. I just remember, you know, how it felt to sit around with all the cousins. I can't remember exactly what we did. I just remember I never won. And that was basically the gist of it. But that was a really fun one for me.
I mean, I feel like with Mario Kart, I mean, well, we actually did, this was last summer, right, Josh? So not this summer, the previous one. We had an episode, Laza, where we basically did like, Josh and I decided like a field of 64 games and we had head-to-head matchups that we threw out on our socials and had people vote in terms of which ones they wanted. And Mario Kart 64 ended up won the whole thing. And
it's because it's the best.
Exactly. I feel like if anybody, like any sort of, whether you're minor gamer or even major, like Mario Kart has entered your life in some way, shape, or form at one point or another.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just inevitable.
Like I told you, Zach, I used to play Mario Kart with my mom all the time on summer breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
I could just play that. Yeah, it's awesome. I've played all of, like, pretty much all the Mario Karts since then. 64 is still the best. Mario Kart 64 is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hands down. Go back to the OG. Yeah, it's you can't beat that.
Yep.
I had this moment this past weekend, actually. I went to a friend's house who's also like a fellow streamer. And we spent – I thought we would go out and be like, you know, young, hot women on the town. But we stayed home for 8 hours and played Mario Golf. That's what we did with a bottle of wine. We just played Mario. And the amount of times I had to get up, I'm like, ugh. See, when I play Mario Kart, dude, you just sit there.
You have a good
time. You go in a circle on the thing, and it's good. And Mario Golf, I'm like, you have to get up and like swing. And I'm like, it's too much exercise for me. But yeah, Mario Kart 64 was definitely it.
Excellent. Absolutely. Excellent. All right, let's hear the next one.
All right, so this one I feel like had a huge part in my life, and everyone laughs at me for this, but Roller Coaster Tycoon was the game. It was a simulation for building roller coasters. You know, you had your own theme park. My brother used to, I would just sit and watch him play and be like, please, 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 please. And like, and I'm like, put it here. And then he would just put it somewhere else. I'm like, please, please. Like, I just, my whole, like, I just remember sitting there watching him build roller coasters and thinking it was the coolest thing. So whenever he was like away, I got to do it because we've been sharing a system like our whole life because it was my mom's sort of way of being like, as long as there's one. At least one kid is like living life, you know. Even to this day, my brother moved back in with me, and whenever I get off stream, he gets on and you know plays Warzone, and it's like it's how we're like, you know, we can get two systems. But it's like no, like one of us has to remain sane. Like we can't. People have offered, like, you know, we can get him one. I'm like, no. So that was kind of how I got. And I noticed that game is just so much about strategy. Mm-hmm. And there's so much freedom in creation and more of that, like, simulation type games that, like, when I remember being in college and I had something on my iPad that was kind of similar, but it was about bridges. And you would build a bridge and, like, they would have, like, this big marbly type thing or like boulder, like roll over your bridge. And if your bridge fell, like if it broke, then you have to like rebuild it and it wasn't, you know, structurally sound. Mm-hmm. And these sort of like boring, I sound so boring right now, but like these, these like building things that are like the simulation stuff. Like I love that. And it makes me realize, I'm like, oh man, like you were kind of your own boss and manager and, you know, it just, there's ownership over it that I'm like, no wonder I have my own company. Like, no wonder I boss people around for a living. It makes so much sense. And I needed those kind of games that allowed me the freedom to create and make mistakes and sort of build something, even though it might not make sense, but, you know, try it out. And so making this list, I was like, oh my gosh, like my whole life is coming together right now. But there were don't even some stuff. The dumbest stuff, like where to put the bathrooms and thinking about it like logically, like, you know, you don't put them like under the roller coaster, you know, you've got to like have like certain areas for that. And like, you know, just putting it together. So that was one of the ones I think that shaped me a lot. But Roller Coaster Tycoon, for sure.
I love that that's on your list. I too love that game. And I played recently, Jurassic Park is my favorite movie ever. And so Jurassic World Evolution is essentially Roller Coaster Tycoon. Same thing. You build your own Jurassic World park. And so, yeah, it's like, well, I'm not going to put the bathrooms here. They have to go by the T-Rex. Everyone's by the T-Rex. And in between the food. No. Yeah. I love those games. So I was glad that was on your list.
Me too. And I didn't even realize it was so – I was talking to my brother about it and I was like, yeah, like I was just like one of those small niche games. He's like, what do you mean, dude? It was like one of the biggest sim games of the 2000s. And I was like, no, we were cool and different and unique. And I looked it up and it was literally the second most, like the second grossing sim game. And I was like, oh man. All right. So we all built roller coasters. Cool. Are we all CEOs too? Like, that's awesome. Like, I'm so glad. But yeah, that was such a big one for me. Like, I charge people to go to the restroom, you know? Like,
oh, shit.
That costs money in my house. And it's so funny because that's how I run. Like, I'll joke around with my employees. They'll be like, they want days off. And I'm like, no, dude, I don't even let you have bathroom breaks during meetings. Like, come on. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's my whole Roller Coaster Tycoon coming out. This is it. I used to charge for the bathroom.
Just like the simulations.
Exactly.
Moving the bathrooms around a little bit, make it a little bit harder for them to find.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like way over here so they just can't get to it. And like, well, I guess you can't go. All right, back to work. Let's go.
Guess I'll hold it.
Yeah. So that was definitely a big one for me.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. What do we got next?
You know, I gave you six because I wanted to keep you on your toes. And I didn't know if in the moment which one I would want to choose. Okay. But I think a big one for me was Super Mario Bros. On my Game Boy.
Okay.
Because I took that everywhere. I took it everywhere. And I remember I had that thing for way longer than anyone, you know, should have. And I lost it on vacation in Florida. And I got to tell you, like, to this day, it haunts me. I had it was a red Game Boy and I freaking had the batteries in the back. I got that extra like battery pack, you know, the addition on the back. And I was playing it by the pool because I'm way too ginger. So I couldn't, you know, you don't just swim. Like you got to reapply the cream. It's a whole thing. So I used to sit under the umbrella with my Game Boy playing freaking Super Mario Bros. I loved that game. And when I lost that Game Boy, it was the end for me. And then my mom was like, don't worry. And we went out and got a DS. Ooh, and okay. I wasn't as in love with it. It just wasn't it for me. And that's when I kind of stopped playing those games for a little bit because it just ruined it. The Game Boy was my passion.
Yeah, Game Boy Color was awesome.
Was the DS the one that like had the flip and you could hit like with the pen? Flip.
Yeah, the pen, yeah, the stylus. Okay. Yeah.
DS, dual screens.
I think I liked it up till the SP, which was basically, it was a flip, but it was still like the basic Game Boy, though.
Game Boy Advance SP, I had one of those too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were solid.
But I agree with you, Laza, where it was like, once the DS came out, I was kind of like, it just doesn't have the same feel. Yeah, it
didn't feel as OG anymore.
It didn't. No.
It was like making the jump beyond like the simplistic handheld gaming that the previous generations offered.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially with Super Mario Bros. Like, I mean, I feel like there's no way nobody's ever not played that if you had any sort of like gaming exposure. Like, I mean, that's just, again, that's just one of the OGs. Like, did you ever do the jump to like skip to levels or like skip worlds? Do you ever know about that?
You can skip worlds. What do you mean?
I think it was in once you got through like either the first, I think it was partway through the first world, there's a pipe and there's like an upper. So once you go down into the pipe, there's like a huge upper platform that it's all of like there's these basically like these bricks that are hidden and you have to jump across and you can auto jump to either like the world 11, 12 or 13.
Dude, I spent most of 2002 trying to beat Bowser. Like, I swear to God, I was just stuck on one level for like an entire like 5 years. But no, anything that was about jumping levels was not. But no, I went the hard route. I made myself suffer through the pain.
Let's go through it the old fashioned. I mean, I feel like that's what you got. I didn't find out about that until way down the line. Josh, did you ever know about that?
No, not till way later.
Okay. I want to know like who, and that's the part about those kinds of games that I want to know like who the hell sat there and just jumped one day and was like, holy shit, my guy didn't come down yet. And then like jumped again, still didn't come down. He's like, all right, what the hell's going on now? Like something's happening. Just keep moving forward. Those people always surprise me. Okay, but again, solid choice. I mean, again, in terms of list, solid choice. Cannot go wrong with Super Mario Bros. So now that brings
us. I'm glad you guys approve of my list because I was a little worried. Like I know you guys are connoisseurs, and I was like, man, I'm going to come out with like Roller Coaster Tycoon, and they're going to be like, who is this chick?
No, not at all. Like the exact opposite.
I love it.
I told Josh because I was like looking at the list, the games you sent me. I'm like, any of these games would show up, I think, on like a top 50 of like all time list. You're good. Yeah,
Well, even still, like it's we don't want you to pick games, you know, that are good. I mean, obviously you didn't, but like we're all about like, did you like the game? Yep. Okay. Like, there you go. You know what I mean? Like, and all your reasons are awesome
that, like,
too.
Just like stick out. They're the ones that like stick out in my memory and childhood. You know, when you just are like, this is when I fell in love with gaming, or like when I had the most fun with sort of the strategy behind these games. And I realized like all the games I played were very like strategy based, or like I tried to, you know, whatever. And so I'm like, oh, that's just so true to what I do now, which leads us to like, you know, our last one, which obviously you could probably guess is, you know, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare.
Obviously.
Yeah. it's so interesting because I obviously really got into it at the height of quarantine. It was like a way for me to bond with my brother who just, you know, moved back in, and he was driving me insane, like insane. He moved into my office to game, and I was working really hard. Like my work like tripled, quadrupled during quarantine. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. Like the world was on fire. I had more work than ever. And I look over and he's just like, let's go. Oh, Dom! Ah! And I was like, are you freaking kidding me right now, dude? Like in the middle of like my Zoom meeting, I would just hear like all this BS. And I got so mad. And we had this big fight. And my mom was like, you guys got to figure out how to get along. So he was like, well, why don't you know, we used to game together all the time. And like we played like other Call of Duties before. And so I sat down and I was like, damn, I didn't realize how much I'd missed it and how much fun it was. And just like, you know, it was such a fun release from work at the end of the day. And like, especially at the time of COVID. And I was playing with randoms at the time because I don't have a ton of friends in real life who game, or it's just never really come up. It's kind of like this side world of mine that I always kind of had on like a family basis. You know, I always played with my cousins or my brother, and you know, that was always kind of how it was. And everyone at school just sort of saw me as like the nerdy academic. And there's times when people from high school will find me on stream and be like, hello, Laza? Like, and I'm like, you saw nothing. Like, you know, nothing, look away. You know, and it's so weird because it's just not something that people would like, you know, expect from me because I never brought it into my daily life. But I would play with a lot of randoms, and the way that I play the game, everyone's like, are you streaming? Like, who are you talking to? Like, who are you? Like, why are you so excited? And I was like, no, but I've thought about it. And, you know, that's when I kind of got into streaming and was, I thought, you know, I'll give it a go and see if I like it, see if anyone watches, see if it works out. And if it does, it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But what I kind of love the most about Warzone is the team base. And strategy behind it, and especially in the beginning, you know, this time last year, with like, you know, still season one, season two strat of how do you make it to the final circle? Like, how are you rotating? Like, what are we doing as a team? And everyone would be like, you know, as a woman in gaming, like, do you receive a lot of hate? Like, whatever. I don't really like, yes, that exists, but you're not giving hate to your teammates, you know, like right. You want to win, like you want to catch dub. And, like I loved being able to have that communication and to work together, and also to like have fun along the way and like be silly, but still like when you play with someone enough and you have that sort of joint strategy and you know what you're doing and you can still have fun doing it. I just don't think another game right now for me like tops that. And that's why I've really stuck with it and grown that out and kind of made that my super niche and decided to kind of be known for that particularly.
For sure, for sure. I mean, and that's the thing too. Like, I feel like when I'm playing Warzone, like I don't give a shit who you are. Like, I don't care what kind of, if you can freaking snipe and you can get us the dub, like, cool. Yeah. I could honestly care less. Like, I don't care what you are, who you are. You know what's funny too is like, what's that, Josh?
That we're all here for the same reason. Owning exactly. Noobs.
Right.
Owning noobs.
You know what is funny?
Josh though? Knows.
Well, see. Well, hold on. Josh isn't a big Warzone guy, though.
Oh, I'm so bad.
I tried to get him to play like once or twice, and he just nope.
Dink, wasn't dead. Him. I'm done.
Yeah, it can get if you're not, you know, if you're not decent, if you can't kind of care, it can get really disappointing, just because it's just like done, dead.
Yeah.
Like over. It defeats you a little bit.
Oh yeah.
If you don't like devote part of your life to it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
The one time I played with you, Laza, we initially started playing in one of your servers. Mm-hmm. And I just remember sitting there going, like, I remember, like, I almost felt like I was that private who just got into the war and, like, got dropped into the middle of just Timbuk fucking nowhere with all these bombs and bullets going off. And I'm like, I just want to go home. I want to go home. I was like, everybody was shooting from, like, across the map. I'm like, how the fuck do you even see me?
Dude, I'm playing lobbies, like, yeah.
Your lobbies are fucking sweaty as shit.
It's honestly why I stopped doing dubs with subs and started doing customs and just kind of rotating who I play with. You know, obviously the OGC is good too, and it's also like pretty difficult, but
yeah.
It's not as like, oh my gosh, there's a hacker in here, and it kind of ruins the two games we get together,
right?
And that's why we keep customs in a way that I know everyone who's playing, and we make sure that they are OGC, and if they're new, that's great, but they got to follow the rules. And it makes it just a little easier for us to have fun, because in the beginning I'm just constantly apologize. I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I know it's difficult in here, I know you just got sniped from friggin' the other side of the map, app. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's kind of why I chose to change for that. But it's mm-hmm. still really okay. fun, and I remember that game. Those games we played together. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was. I got to witness absolute
ages ago
greatness. Yeah, it did. Seem like it's so long ago, but it was that shot you took with that car 98. And it was that TikTok you made where the guy was like driving. You're like, oh, we got a just car coming up. And you just headshot the dude right off of him. And I was like, I literally sat there. I saw the shot and everything. I was like, holy shit. I'm like, I am on a totally like, I don't know where I'm at right now, but I'm on not the same level as this shit. Like, she
I'm
is. I'm just going to see myself out because I don't deserve to be in this presence. Like,
one of my favorite moments. That was one of my favorite moments. And you helped sort of make that so great because I was on one. Everyone was like, chill out. And you were like, no, I will bow down to greatness. Here you go. Like,
and you were like, bow down to me. And I was like, yeah, you deserve it. So here you go. I'm going to do exactly that. Want me to give you any weapon? I'll do it. Like, I am at your disposal right now. That is my role here.
That was a beautiful moment. That was a great game. The other people didn't even see it. Whoever else was on our team, they were somewhere else.
Yeah,
we were somewhere else, and you were right next to me, and I'm like, thank God somebody witnessed this.
We were like, rotated or something. Well, that's the thing too, is when I knew, so like I had watched you obviously play before, then I got to play with you. I knew again based on your lobbies, I'm like, I am fucking sticking right. I am on your hip the whole game. Like, I'm not going anywhere else without my fucking lifeline.
I love that.
But yeah, no, that was definitely a. It was. It really. You know what's even funnier too is so like, obviously. So my wife dabbles in the TikTok a lot, and she's always sending me fucking TikTok this and that. I'm just like, she watches them, and I felt like, yeah, it's a funny one. Sure, send it to me or whatever. So then I told her, I'm like, oh hey, I'm in a TikTok, and she's like, oh okay. And I'm like, no, really, like my voice is in it, but I'm not like tagged in. And she's like, sure, let me see it. And she like, you had like posted maybe an hour ago and it had like a couple thousand likes. So I sent it to her and she was like, oh shit, this has got a lot of likes. I'm like, yeah, and I'm in that, so suck it. I'm like, I'm on TikTok now and you just watch them, so what's up. And she was just like, holy crap. I'm like, yeah, so yeah, because I knew she just thought I was like on some video and just like, oh yeah, yeah, sure, let me see it.
A little street card.
I was like, yeah, I was like, come on,
a little street cred.
Like, come on, I'm in a video with a few just like thousand likes. It's no big deal or anything. Like, and just chilling here, whatever.
I love just it. Make, it was making a great the content. Time.
Yeah. It was great. So I think so the next thing that we were really wondering was, and you kind of dove into it a little bit, but I kind of want to know more of like, so you obviously had that moment where you started like streaming Warzone and you were just playing and stuff. Like, what was really the moment that you were like, okay, I'm gonna attempt this on Twitch, and then it all just sort of started like unraveling to like, I'm good at Warzone, okay, let's do Twitch, and then, oh my god, let's do this OGC, and then like, how did it all just accumulate into this massive snowball that's still rolling down the hill?
It was honestly like moment to moment. When I get interested in something, I can't stop. Like, I kind of have this energizer bunny in me that, like, when I'm inspired, like, watch out. And so it first kind of started with content, and I was cutting up a lot of the gameplay. It was just super fun, and I'm cutting it together and like making it different than what was already out there. I noticed just everything was just so much of the same in the gaming world. And, you know, back then, like, I know it wasn't even that long ago, but like a year ago, things didn't look the way they do now. Everyone's gaming Instagram was freaking boring and ugly, and like no one was editing their videos. They were just, you know, cutting clips and posting them online. It was like taking it, some were even like screen recordings from your phone, and then putting it on Instagram. And it was one of those things where I'm like, why don't I treat this the way I treat content in my business, and, you know, create thumbnails on Instagram and color correct my gameplay and add end cards with calls to action and engage with content the way I would as like for my, one of my clients. Mm-hmm. So I really try to bring that like business side to it to see where it would go and if it would be just accepted by people. And I think that is kind of where people started sharing my content a lot. Like, oh my gosh, look what she did. Like, look how her profile looks on Instagram, or, you know, look at these thumbnails, look at, why does your game look like that color and mine looks bland as hell? And it was just those little tweaks that I did that I think really stirred people up to kind of talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that word of mouth stayed for a while. And I kept being like, you know what? They liked that. Why not try this? Why not try that? And everything I've done sort of since then has really not been like, oh, they're doing this or this is what's going on in the game world, but like, what can I bring from what I already do to this that people just aren't doing or haven't seen? And it really brings that that conversation of, whoa, I didn't even think about that. And there was something that we did. I just every once in a while I'll do something and someone's just like, I didn't even think about that. Like, that makes so much sense. And I'm like, I love that. Like, I love those moments. I remember creating the no one was like, I'll be hard pressed to find someone who is actually doing this. And I don't mean to be like, I was the first to do everything, but I didn't see it. And I would look at like channel points, and everyone's channel points were so damn boring. I'm sorry. Like, freaking July of 2020, like, I saw this most boring channel points I'd ever seen in my entire life. And I decided to, whenever the thing that bothered me the most is when I go to people's streams, you know, all the channel points required, you know, to do anything like semi cool, or even to like highlight a message, you needed a certain number of channel points. And I was like, well, I have to hang out here, like whatever. I wanted to someone to be able to come into my stream and instantly use a channel point, you know, just for following. You get, you know, 300, whatever it is, and you can do something with it. And so that's when I created like the one channel point that's like, hi, I'm new here. Mm-hmm. And then other little ones. After that, once I saw hi, I'm new here, like, work so well. Then obviously, like, the OGC trolled the crap out of me and like used hi, I'm new here all the damn time. One person was like, I have 50,000 channel points, which means I have 50,000 I'm new here's, like, locked in, ready to go. And I'm like, you know what? Do it, because that's fun. Like, that's just so organically, like, that, like, moments like that are the things I live for. I love like creating something and then seeing what the community does with it. Because they can use it to troll me. They can actually use it for real. Like, it's super fun. And since then, I'll go into someone random stream and I'll see like a hi, I'm new here for 1 point. And it just makes me smile because I'm like, you know, I genuinely know that I did that. And right. I love that it's like snowballed from there. And, you know, I love that it's added that because it just means more people can come in and interact and, you know, be made to feel special. And like the streamer knows that you're there. Because sometimes like they'll follow and I don't hear the follow sound anymore. They're like, burr, burr, burr. Like, I don't, it's just part of my brain now. And so when they redeem like a hi, I'm new here, I'm like, oh yeah, thank you for following. So little things like that, and even using people's names as commands. I hadn't seen that before. And I just remember someone was coming in for months and I was like, you know, like every stream was like, you deserve to like have something in here. And I was like, what if I name like made your name a command? And it blew people's minds that I did that. Mm-hmm. And everyone felt so special. And they would come in and just blast their name command. And then I just remember a few streamers DMing me like, hey, that's genius. Can I do that? Like, hey, that's genius. Like, do you mind if I take that? Like, hey, just so you know, I've taken that. Like, so... You know, so to answer, sorry, this was a very long-winded answer to your question, but I think what I've done, or what I like to think that I've done, is kind of create answers to my own questions. Like, I'll see something that I want, and I won't ask for permission for it. I'll just do it, and then seeing people like it, and then kind of create conversation around it, and having them do it, and it's just all that word of mouth stuff. It's like, hey, like, this is like this, I'm new here, channel point is so cool. Like, yeah, I took that from that ginger girl. And they'll go check me out, you know? Right. Or they'll like give me credit. A lot of people, when they were making Instagram thumbnails, even yesterday, I got a DM that was like, you know, I didn't want to make Instagram thumbnails, and I saw yours, and I know you've been doing it for a really long time, and I just want to let you know I'm going to start doing it, and I'll give you credit for the inspiration. Oh, I'm like, wow. Thank you so much. And it's just like those little things of like, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to say your name. Or even if they don't, they'll always know where they got that from. And that's exactly. enough for me. So, so I think the word of mouth and the constantly doing things that, that I would want as part of my stream or, you know, my gaming experience, I think that's really helped me move along and kind of create that snowball effect.
Mm-hmm, for sure. For sure. Two things really quick. I know Josh, mm-hmm. you got, I think got another question. Two things. One, I think you have to go back now and that has to be your new, like when a follower comes in, we have to take that like little soundbite you just did and be that, have that be like, the have that be it when people come in. And two, what do you yeah. think to this point has been your favorite channel point redemption like thing and your the channel points for your for the streams?
Oh gosh, we have so many. I actually change them out so many times. I like to like keep yeah. them fresh. Mm-hmm. I like to keep them fresh. There's now I gotta think, there's an aggressive wink, there's a chair spin, there's something called wild weenies, which is where I give Nara, my dog, one of a treat, but it's called a wild weenie. Like the treats are literally called that. And so everyone's like, what's wild weenie? And you know, I notoriously like wear a lot of clothes. Like I'm a very clothed streamer. Mm-hmm. And so we have a channel point that's like spicy knee and I'll like lift up my knee and you could see a little knee. And you know, that's enough, right? Like it's everyone's like, ooh, spicy. And what else? Right now, I just added one like the other day. And I was like, you know what would be really cool? If I had a channel point where you could like win something. And so there's a channel point for like $100 Amazon gift card. There's a channel point to get SteelSeries headset. So if you hang out long enough, you could like win some stuff. Like how cool is that, right? Like I just,
oh, for sure.
I like, that's a really fun idea. And there's a hee-hee 69. There's like, you know, people are just like, ah, like it might as well like play on it, right? And make it fun.
Right.
I think those are the ones that like stand out for me. I'm trying to think of anything else. But yeah, sometimes it's like what's funny at the moment. Like for a while, mm-hmm. one of the mods misspelled bruh and put brub. And so brub was a channel point. Like I just rolled with it, you know, like take that in because those organic moments are hot like that right. For a marketer, like that's what you're looking for. You want someone to relate to the brand in some way. Mm-hmm. And then to capitalize on that, to be like, okay, this is like going to be a thing for us and it happens organically and you don't have to like manufacture it. I'm so lucky to have moments like that. And then I'll just grab those and pull them and make it into a channel point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are some of my top ones. I'm sure there are some others that are fun, but those are the ones that kind of stick out to me.
I feel like between you and me, Josh, we'd have quite a few of those channel points then. Between all the random words that we always bring up because we all one of the other misspells a word.
Oh God.
I don't know how many of those in like 14 years now. Like, come on.
I know. And it gives people a sense of belonging too, right? You got to think of like the community sense. Like when you come back and you see like you were there for brub and then you come back and you see it at a channel point, you're like, ha, 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 that's amazing. And then you go tell your friend who was also there, like, oh my gosh, did you see brub channel point? And then the friend comes in and everyone starts spamming brub, you know, and then the new people are like, what's brub? And then you let them know. It's just, it's points of conversation.
Right.
And that's just, you know, really big.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I know because one of the things we were going to talk to you, we're going to ask you about, but you obviously, you know, covered it just through conversation was, you know, how do you feel or what do you think is attributed to your success in such a short time? But you covered that obviously. And it's just really cool to see because it's simple, but difficult, right? You kind of have that intangible view of how you approached like everything you explained. I just, you know, obviously just commenting on it is very cool to hear that process because I personally don't know, you know, many streamers or have talked to them, you know, to this degree that often, but it's mm-hmm. it's just cool that you took something and the way you looked at everything was so much different and obviously led to you kind of blowing up and being so good at what you're doing. So I just think that's cool. That was my response to all this, you know, kind of the stuff that you talked about in terms of your process and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I honestly just try to I don't want to be like, I want to go in so authentically. But it is like, I just try to go in like with an open mind and heart about things. And I like to really pick up on the things I see and use them if I can. And it's just really cool to see them succeed, to see some work. And, you know, some of them haven't always worked. I'd be hard pressed to find one that hasn't, though, because everything I do is freaking genius. But it is really fun to kind of roll with the punches. And I think that that's the organic side of the thing that you can't just manufacture. And a lot of people are just like, oh, I want to. And I see people try and do that. I'm like, let's just let it happen. You know,
it's
the best part. So it's a little look into my brain and how I look at those things.
Right. Authenticity on the internet is not easy to come by.
No.
And I feel like you have it.
I definitely do feel like Laza in your community in that OGC, like that's the thing is like, obviously, you know, as you know, you've like talked about how you've continued to grow and you're still growing, you're getting followers, subscribers, but like, it's crazy. Cause like if anybody jumped in right now, if anybody listening right now goes in and jumps in on one of your streams, you would just think that you're like just like a week in, because you're talking to everybody, you're trying to keep everybody involved, somebody says this and you're like, oh, how's it going? And you know, like somebody who just comes in like, hey, what's going on? Like, not a lot of bigger streamers have that. And I think that's got like, I feel like that's what's most important, is when you have that sense of belonging, that sense of community. I think that's what, for in my opinion, what's continuing to make your success grow and grow and grow and continue to like just keep building, basically.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Here's the thing, though. Like, I'm not I will be the first to say, like, I'm not the only one doing it. There are so many great people out there who can still, like, talk to chat. I think when I first looked at Twitch, because I did a lot of, you know, looking before, I watched a lot of streams. I wanted to, you know, see what I was getting into and what it was like, and really just like take notes on what I was missing, like what I wanted to see more of. And I noticed some of those more gregarious streamers, the ones who were talking and inviting and super fun, weren't good at the game. They were just like, but they loved being bad at the game. That was like their thing. That was their shtick. It was like, oh, I'm trash. Like, I'm trash at the game, but like, we're a vibe here, right? Or you go into a stream who's like, it's more like a pro gamer and they're cracked at the game, and they never read chat. And it was really difficult for me personally to like find someone who kind of had a little bit of both. I wanted to show that, you know, you could be decent at the game and still, you know, engage the best you can with chat. And, you know, since then, I feel like I've found some more of those. I found streamers who can do that. And it's actually really fun to see and collaborate with those people. But when I first started, I was like, that's what I want to do. I set out to be that. And I was, you know, I still wanted to hit my shots. I wanted to get dubs, but I wanted every single person in there to like feel seen and heard. And you know what? Like, as you grow, you can't see every single person, but then you build a community who sees them for you. You know, you see part of the OGC will welcome people in if they say that they're new there, or the mod squad owe so much to make people really feel welcomed and seen. And so it kind of creates this little community that helps you out, and you don't necessarily need to see everybody, but everyone feels seen. So that was kind of what I set out to do. But it's really cool to kind of see that happen more and more amongst Twitch streamers, and I think people are starting to realize the importance of doing that and still kind of staying true to the game and playing it and doing well at it and really like making sure your audience feels seen too. So I appreciate you for like pointing that out, but that was something I definitely set out to achieve.
Absolutely.
So what's next for Laza?
Streaming
life, anything you want to share?
I'm actually going through a lot of changes in my life. I told my community, and I purposefully, it was like 2-3 months ago now, I did a chatting stream where I was like, I'm just going to be really brutally honest. You know, we're always usually like really happy around here, and And I just want to tell you guys what's going on in my life, because as much as I open up and I talk about, you know, story, like there's a channel point where you could redeem like a story time, and I tell like ridiculous stories of my life. And those are always super, super fun. But there was always one part of my life I never shared. Because I like to think that I, you know, there's one part of me, I feel like I'm Hannah Montana, you know, like I feel like I'm Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana. And there's just like that one secret that you keep to yourself, and you will always have that. And, there was a moment with chat where I was like, I'm not going to dive deep into, all the secrets that are within this, you know, thing, but I'm going to just like, you know, lightly let you guys know I'm going through romantic changes in my life. And, you know, I've since elaborated like a tiny bit more on that, but I still keep it to myself. But, basically 3 months ago, I got out of an 8-year long relationship, and it was with someone from another country. And so I had been spending a lot of my time in that country for like, you know, years and years. And so it was a big, big bomb in my life. It was a big change. I kind of had this future sort of ripped from my brain. And I've been sort of trying to figure out life, what life looks like now and after that, and rebuild some of those dreams. And so I decided to just go for things and do things that I have always wanted to do. And I'm just that kind of person that I love to try and achieve things. Like when I went into Twitch, I was like, I want to grow this. I want to see how big we can make it. Or like when I started my company, I was like, I want it to be successful. When I was doing my education, I was like, I want to go to the best university in the world. Like I've always kind of been that person, just to like shoot for the stars. And so, you know, my mom was one of the first women pilots in South America. My grandfather was a pilot. A lot of my family members work in the airlines. And I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to be a pilot. And so I'm currently working on my private pilot's license. And I just decided to like, just do it, just go for it. I was like, there's never going to be a good time. You're never going to have enough money. But if you just take it like day by day, step by step, like eventually you'll achieve it. And so I've been working on that in my spare time. Mm-hmm. And it's super fun. Like I've made a schedule around it. I was like, you know, I'm going to devote 4 days a week to studying and 1 day a week, like not 4 full days, but you know, a couple hours of those days. And then 1 full day a week, like in the air. And so I have like my flight lessons scheduled every week for several hours. And I do that. And I've carved that time out. That's sort of something that's happening in my personal life that, you know, the OGC is starting to learn more about, and it keeps me happy, and just doing something new and learning. Like I'm such a book nerd, like, you know, street smarts and book smarts. I have no street smarts. You could ask my brother any day of the week. And that man is like, she would run into a doorknob and just like lose her mind. Like I have no street smarts. But I am all book. I am all nerd. And I love being able to study something new and learn a new skill. So that's something that's happening currently in my personal life. I'm also just kind of, you know, looking to see what other changes I could make. Cause I'm just in that place where I just want something new, something different. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to kind of see where that goes. In terms of stream, I am super open to what happens next. I've had a lot of court. I'm trying to feel like what I can and cannot say.
Spill the deets.
I will too. And that's like, we're going to have to like redact this. You don't have to ask me twice. I will tell you all the secrets. Like a few months ago, I'll just be honest. Cause I even told chat a few months ago, I had a meeting with FaZe, and I told, I think it was supposed to be a secret. I don't know if it's supposed to be a secret. No one told me to keep it a secret. So I just went on stream and was like, guys, guess what? Like I just, and I totally just spilled the beans. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. But I'm like, what's to tell me? I don't know. So I didn't get into any trouble for that. So, but you know, there's been meetings with brands, with companies, with shows, with networks, with some, you know, there's with organizations. I haven't fully signed anything yet. I'm still open. I want to kind of hear things. I'm also just not, I'm not super pressed to like do things right now. I love even just things kind of coming in, these opportunities presenting themselves. And I'm like, whoa, like that's so cool that we're at a place where like someone like that is knocking on my door. Like, how cool is that? And I had a manager. I feel it makes me feel so fancy. It's not as fancy as it sounds. It's really not as fancy as it sounds. But there's this manager, and I you know, there were so many people that wanted to sign me in the beginning. Sorry, do I sound super cool? There's so many people who wanted to sign me, but they were all like,
the best thing ever.
But they were all like very young and gaming centric, and they were like, "Do you want to sign with?" You know, G Fuel. And I'm like, honestly, no. Like, I'm just, yeah, I know it's so many people's like dream to sign with G Fuel. I'm going to be like, I don't drink the sugar, like the whatever they're called. Like, I don't drink those. Like, I have a coffee right in front of me, and like, I'll drink that all day long. And like, that's more of like my stimulant. And I'm just, you know, I got another person in the DMs. And I'm like, dang, like, that's so cool. Like, your product is so big, but I don't like it. I'm sorry. Like, I wish I did. I just don't. And so I think that those opportunities that sort of kind of like come are just super cool to see. But mm-hmm. I specifically went out and found like this old man as my manager. And I love him. He's super old. And he doesn't know anything about gaming or streaming. He calls me and he's like, hello? Like, he can barely hear. Like, I love him. And he's worked with a lot of like comedians and movie stars, and so he's more of that like old knowledge and like those deep rooted personal relationships, like, and in different fields. And he's not, you know, just like, hey, there's this opportunity with G Fuel. Like, it's not that. It's more of like, hey, like, how do you feel about being on this television show? And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, to me, that's badass. And like, I would love like opportunities that are just different like that and aren't things that other, you know, people are really thinking about. And those, mm-hmm. and I don't know if anything will come of it, you know, it might not, but just to be able to work with someone who has thoughts like that, I think is really, really cool. And who kind of thinks on that older side. Cause I always think I'm like a 60-year-old lady trapped in like a 29-year-old's body, 28-year-old's body. Cause I am, I'm such an old lady. But I love that part of me that is that, and I embrace that. And yeah, so I know you asked one small question like 20 freaking minutes ago, but that's currently where I'm at and what the future seemingly holds for me. So it's, I don't know, and I'm super open.
Well, there you go.
Wrap it
no,
up.
I mean, yeah, that is very exciting to touch on the first part of your answer as, obviously finding positive and negative situations, but mm-hmm. you know, it's awesome that I personally am jealous because I also want to get my pilot's license.
Yeah,
it's cool. You know, you're devoting your time to something that is a personal passion of yours. So.
Laza, how many more hours or like how many more like flying lessons do you need until you like officially can fly on your own?
Not so until I can do my solos, I only have like less than 10 flights left. Yeah. Until I can do solos. And I'm already doing like cross countries, and like those are super, super fun, where it's like the most expensive burger you'll ever have, right? Like, you get in the plane with your flight instructor and you fly like 2 hours, you have a burger, and then you fly back. And like the whole thing was like $1,500. It's like, shit, you guys, like, ah, like, it's crazy. It's like, it's an investment. It's not a cheap, I didn't take up like friggin' paddle boarding where it's like a one time. That was the reason I bring that up is because it was on my list. The week I got, I almost said divorced. Oh my God. I was not divorced. The week we broke up, I flew to Florida to be with my godmother, and mm-hmm. I sat there with a pen and paper and was like, who am I going to be now? And I know that sounds so lame, but it's like, I needed to like write down all the versions of me. And I went to like a Hobby Lobby. You guys are going to laugh at me. I went to a Hobby Lobby and I stood in there for an hour, and I was like, am I a hiker? Like, do I hike? And I just like stood next to some hiking gear And I touched it and I smelled it. And I was like, no, I'm not a hiker. And then I went over to the paddle boards and I picked one. I couldn't hold one to save my life. I have noodle arms. And I was like, I can't. How do I? My car's not big enough. I can't. Am I a paddle boarder? Maybe I'm a paddle boarder. And I stood on it and I had my niece take a photo. My godmother's daughter take a photo of me on the paddle board. I'm like, how do I look? Do I look like a paddle boarder? And I just went through this of who am I? What am I doing? And it was so just good for me to get to this place. But it's an investment. I chose something that's not cheap, and I also chose something that's life or death. And I tell this to my instructor all the time. I'm like, I did not take up golf. Because he's like, you're doing great. Just relax. I'm like, I'm not going to relax, dude. Relax, this is not golf. This is, I'm flying a plane. I could kill us. and he just looks at me and goes, I'm okay with dying. And I'm like, oh my God, I picked the wrong instructor. but yeah, it's cool. It's crazy. And it takes a lot of focus, a lot of dedication, a lot of time, but I really want to give it that. I want to give it the time it deserves because I want to take it seriously.
I feel like all those instructors kind of have that weird sort of side to them, because I went skydiving a few years back and the instructor right before we went up was like, all right, guys, all right, we're getting strapped in here. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I can promise you guys one thing. I can promise you, hand to God, it will come true. Once we leave that plane, we will hit the ground. I was like, what? And he's like, yep, nope, no matter what happens, we are hitting the ground once we leave that plane. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I don't want to do this.
I don't need this.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I feel like all of them kind of have that sadistic, all right, yeah. I'm fine with dying. I'm not.
I know. I'm not. You have to kind of get to that place.
Yeah. I don't know what it takes, but it's you're in a different headspace, man. But whoever is in that space, you're there, and that's, I don't know. I also kind of wonder too, when you're in that Hobby Lobby, if those employees were watching you as you kept sort of going from spot to spot, standing, she's been standing by the hike and stuff for an
hour. Dude, I'm weird as hell. I create a spectacle wherever I go. I'm not gonna lie. Someone was with me and I went into my, since I'm in the West Coast, I have Vons, and I went into Vons, with a friend of mine, and every single person who works at Vons, said hello to me. And my friend was just like, how do you know all these people? I'm like, dude, I spend so much time in here and I am such a weirdo that I'm just I'll talk to the person at the bakery and we'll strike up a conversation. I'll get to know them. And the other day I was and it's so crazy. I know every single person who works at my market because I'm just so freaking loud and intense anytime I go anywhere. And so we were going to do something. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it. We were going to do something. And I was like, we can't do that. They're like, why not? And I'm like, look, I'm the only redhead in my town and I'm loud as hell. I'm like, I can't do any illegal shit. I'm like, they're going to know exactly who it is and where to find me. They're going to wait at Vons. And I'm like,
can you identify the suspect? Absolutely. I can. Sit down, put your pen and paper. I got it clean in my head, ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I stand out 10 sore thumbs. But yes, I don't remember what the question, but the answer is yes. It was weird. It was a spectacle. I attract craziness wherever I go. Oh, Hobby Lobby. Yeah. So they thought it was weird. I brought my weirdness to Florida. It's always weird. But I'm okay with the weird. I live in the weird. I think so. My mom is born and raised in Venezuela. I've lived most of my life with my mom. She's unafraid of anything and everything. She is, and at the same time, very afraid of everything. It's actually funny that I say that because she actually is terrified of everything. But she's just not of people. She will go up to anybody. She will talk to anybody. She will ask any question. She goes into situations completely fearless. Other things like ants on the ground or freaking COVID, she's terrified. But when it comes to people, she's not afraid to be embarrassing. And I learned that very
even the
young.
Time she, even the time she's jumped on the streams, when Mama Ginger's come by on the stream, she's just talking a few hundred some odd people are in there, and she's just waving, saying hello, talking as if she's known people for forever. And I was like, that's so adorable. Like, this is so funny.
Yeah, there was one moment where she started saying something that maybe wasn't the most PC. And I think like I made eye contact with the camera and it was like, okay, we all have parents like this, right? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not responsible. Like, and like, but yeah, I really, she's one of my biggest inspirations and I admire her for that. I think I try to take that on too.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, I have one more question for you, Laza, before we
let you go. Oh man, this is too fun. Are you sure? Just one?
Right, well, right. Okay, well, actually, no. Here, I have two. Really. I do. Okay, I do. Yeah, I was like, all right, you know, I have two. Okay, one being, so obviously, right now you're in the streaming game. If there is any bit of advice you could give to people who are starting to stream, want to get into it, what's like the number one advice you can give them?
You know, I get asked this question a lot. And I think I change my answer a little bit every time, because I don't think there's necessarily one big thing, but when you mm-hmm. ask this question to other streamers, they tell you, make sure you're growing on other platforms, like Twitch, like you get the whole, like Twitch is not a discoverable platform. So you have to make content and blah, 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 blah. And mm-hmm. That's the thing is, that's true. Like it is, it's the number one piece of advice is you have to grow your audience on other platforms and you have to bring them to Twitch. But here's the thing. No one kind of tells you what that means. No one tells you what bringing them to Twitch really looks like. And everyone's out here like growing their TikToks, growing their Instagram, like waiting for the moment to like bring them into Twitch, or they start their Twitch and no one is coming over. There's no like cross connections between me having like say a million people on TikTok and then having 10 average viewers on Twitch. Like, how is that mm-hmm. possible? What is the disconnect? And I think what would have to be one of my biggest pieces of advice is really take advantage of the moment you have with people. For example, when you have their attention, whether it's in a TikTok video, whether it's on stream and you're noticing a lot of people are filtering in, give them a place to go. When someone comes in and goes, hi, I'm from TikTok. I just saw you. Like, I wanted to come in and say hello. In the beginning, and if you're like original OGC, like, you know, I used to do this, but I used to be like, hey, you know, XYZ, like, thank you so much for being in here. I'm going to give you a chat buddy. You're now officially chat buddies with Recon Rick. Say hi. And it gives them a reason to like stick around for a minute. Mm-hmm. And the longer you can make them feel attached, mm-hmm. Responsible, seen, heard, like they're contributing in some way, the longer they'll stick around and that connection kind of forms and they'll let someone know. It makes them like, oh, you know, I was in someone's stream and they gave me a chat buddy. So anytime they want to pop in and they see, because I usually try to say someone's name who's like, is like a mod or has been there a while. Mm-hmm. The next person, XYZ, the next time XYZ comes in and sees you talking in chat, they're going to be like, hey, Recon Rick, how are you? And you're going to be like, yo, XYZ, how have you been, dude? And it gives, you know, and so it's creating those connections because it's one thing to build an audience on another platform and then to try and push them like, hey, I'm live. But take advantage of the moments where those connections happen. Take advantage mm-hmm. of that bridge that you built that gets them there. If a TikTok is getting a lot of traction, make a comment like, what's up, homies? Like, glad if you guys are watching my TikTok. I'm going to be live at this hour, Like, come say hi. Or give them something to say. Be like, anyone who comes in and says, like, gamify it a little bit. Like, anyone who comes in and says the word pickle, you're going to be entered into a drawing. And I did that, and it was so much fun. And then the people who are like OG are like, why is everyone coming in and saying pickle? Like, what is happening? And it just makes more conversation. So it's taking advantage of those bridges, those gaps mm-hmm. between platforms, and really trying to think like, okay, if I'm someone and I go to somebody's TikTok and I see it's going viral and I click on their stream and I'm there and I say hi and they say hi back, then what? You know, what makes me want to stay? Mm-hmm. Why do I want to stick around? And a lot of the time I don't want to stick around. And that's the problem. It's not just the redirection, it's the retention. And so what gotcha. People are putting a lot of effort into is the redirection. Like, hey, come here, come here, come here. And not any into the retention. Like, here's why you should stay. And so my biggest piece of advice is to work on that and think of that when you're creating content, not just of, you know, the call to action to go from TikTok to Twitch, but what you're going to do once they get there. That's for sure. Piece of advice.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I think that's excellent advice. I mean, even from Josh and I, you know, when we were starting this show, like it is something when you do get onto like, just like the social platforms, it is kind of finding that sense of belong in our community or just that connection, like you said, and trying to keep people in there. And I think honestly, like I said before, I think that sense of community that you've built, I think that in and of itself is more than I think you could have probably ever needed. And everybody's just like, yep, community here. I know, like, oh, this person's here, talk and chat and whatever. And everybody stays then. And then, you know, everybody hangs out and just has like a hangout session basically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's one of those things, so you have to really sit with yourself and think of like how you would do it and not just how I would do it, right? Like, I think that's one of the bigger mistakes people make is like, oh, like, and then it becomes pure strategy and not authenticity. Sure. Because all those things sort of happened organically and like on the spot and like super fun. And then it just like became a thing and it snowballed. And you just have to, you have to really watch yourself and just be aware of your own authenticity. And you're like, if I'm doing this just to retain people, they will always feel that intention, right? So like I am really, I always loved musical theater and I was a drama nerd in the drama club all throughout high school. And, you know, one of the first things you're taught in theater is you don't memorize your lines, you memorize your intentions and the lines will come naturally, right? So it's not, you know, I have to talk about why I'm so hungry and I have to think, and then you forget your lines like, oh, I don't remember what restaurant I wanted to go to. But if you remember your intention is I am hungry, what do I want if I'm hungry, then you'll instantly be like, okay, I have to like restaurants. And so I think that's the kind of disconnect between people who come off really like disconnected and just sort of slimy sometimes. And that's when you get all those people making things like, don't do this as a streamer. And like, you get that because people's like, you know, you could tell like you just want followers, you just want viewers, rather than like, hey, I want to build something that feels so strong and so cool. And I want to have a place I can go 3 times a week and just relax and not have to, you know, there's some days that I don't want to promote freaking stream. I don't want to create content. Like, you know, obviously when I was going through that breakup, there was 3 months and I posted it on a couple of places. Like there's 3 months and I gave myself permission to not post content, to not create, and people still showed up. And that was the coolest part for me. I'm like, to have created something where, you know, we obviously went, the viewership isn't like, you know, what it was a few months ago. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. I accepted that was what was going to happen. But the people who do stick around, the people who are there, the people who do show up, that's like the core of the community. And to engage with them and be there and present with them is so much fun.
Absolutely.
And sometimes not having to worry about like new people coming in. And so I gave myself like permission for that. And yeah, so I think that's really important.
Sure. Okay. So I've got now one more question for you. I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here.
Okay.
So I know. So right at the end here. So let's just say, you know, Laza's being asked by, you know, X company, whatever, you're thrown into a $5 million Warzone turn. All right. You're dropping into Verdansk. Duo partner, trios group, and quads. Who are you dropping in with?
Whoa! Okay.
Save the best for last.
Okay. So here's the thing. What am I? I'm trying to win all the money, and this is people I know, or just like anybody.
You can pick. You have free reign for any streamer out there, whether it's, you know, again, people you've streamed with, big time. I mean, again, world is at your disposal in terms of who you can pick, and you're dropping in, and your goal is to take first. You get the money.
Okay, well, first of all, I would choke instantly. If you've ever seen me an attorney, I put my hair up, I put my glasses on, and then I just choke. I get no kills. But the thing is, when I do my best in tournaments, when I do my best, it's when I'm like 5 tequila shots in, I'm joking with the community, I'm playing with people who I love. That's when I just, and then I drop like 23. And then every time I'm like going in with the intention to win, I get like 1-2 kills, right? So if that's the case, and I'm going to go off kind of like how I know myself to be, and like, it's like, who am I going to go in with and be like my drinking buddy and be my tourney buddy? I got to go with people I know. Okay. So I'm going to go with the homies. If it's just a duos, I got to go with my OG guy. I got to go with Grapey.
Grapey. Okay.
And like, I could be like me and Z-Laner with the freaking smash. But like, but honestly, like, G is my homie. He's been my homie from day one. He's the kind of person that he was kind of started around the same time. And he was creating content that I thought was really great and different. Like, I was out there trying to create content that was great and different too. But we were both really small. And I was like, this guy's going to get big. And I feel like I'm, you know, on my way too. And like, we should collaborate. And we did. And we ended up just completely hitting it off. So if I'm going to do a duo, I got to bring my guy. Because he knows sometimes I shut down and he like bosses me around. And I love that. trios. Okay, for trios, this is the one that I'm going to throw in a name, because I've always wanted to play with Iron, because when I talk about strategy, like I'm like a strategy person in business, and you know, with everything like I sort of do, and the king of strategy in getting dubs is Iron. And so if I had to go into attourney, I would bring him for strat, and then I'd probably need, you know, in this one I'm gonna go like actual names. I'm gonna go Z-Laner and Iron and myself for trios. Like, ooh. I'm just gonna give myself that squad. All right, shit, like I'm just gonna go full on. You know, Z-Laner for freaking gun skill, Iron for strat, and you know, me for looks. and then for quads, am I doing whole new, like a whole, like, or you want me to build on? I totally changed them up. I was giving you like a separate.
No, that's okay. If you want to do separate, if you feel that you might run quads better with some like other people, you certainly can. If you feel that you can basically just throw Grapey in with Iron and Z-Laner, then there's your quads.
Okay. And then I think for quads, I'm going to go with an all ladies squad.
Okay.
Because my girls bring it. And I'm going to go, it's me, Rachel G, because the woman has the best comms on the face of the earth. Like, prove me wrong. Like, that woman has better comms than anybody I know. I could be blindfolded and still hit every shot if she's giving me comms. 100%. And then I got to go 5x5 because I think she's just the most cracked, badass, and sweetest person. There's some people that I play with. Like, I know when I vibe with people, and it's when they compliment me, because my love language is words of affirmation. So, like, if I hit a shot and everyone's silent, I'm like, this ain't the squad. This ain't the squad. This isn't it. But when I hit a shot in front of 5x5, she's like, ooh, good one. And I'm like, hell yeah! Like, let's go! Like, I feel so energized. And she is just crazy. She'll play splits and be off. And I'm like, God, there's nobody in this lobby. Where is everybody? And then I check the stats and she has like 20 kills in the first 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she won't say anything either. I'll just be like, I can't, there's nobody in this lobby. And she's like, huh? And so it's gotta be me. It's gonna be Rachel G, 5x5. And I feel like she's gonna, only because she's gonna kill me if I don't say her name. And that's the only reason I'm picking her, and I want her to know that I'm picking her for no other reason other than that she would bitch at me because I wouldn't. And that would be Rose. That would be Rose Ruland. I mostly keep her around because she has a foot fetish. And she's, you know, been very vocal about that, and I love that for her. And so, like, you know, she'll be running around talking about feet, and she's my every Thursday lady crush, and I just absolutely love her to death on the real. But also, she's not that great. She's not that. I just give her so much shit. I give her so much shit, but I love her so much. We're like an old married couple already. But yeah, I think that's the squads.
I'm
very happy with those choices.
I was gonna say across the board, I think, yeah, I would put you if I was throwing out predictions for winners of tournaments. I mean, I probably got to say the trios probably got to be, if I got to put like in terms of who's got the best shot. I mean, the trio squad sounds like it probably be pretty good. But I mean, I've seen you guys run on ladies night a few times, and I mean, I don't know. I think you guys could take some other quad teams to the woodshed. I mean, it could be pretty close.
I think so too. I got told very early on, like, hey, if you talk to chat less, you'd get more dubs. And I was like, you know what? That is facts. That is absolute facts. But then I'd be having significantly less fun. So if we all were to like just put our heads in it and like, you know, off stream, that would probably be the sickest quad to ever run, to be honest.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Maybe we can try to get Josh in one time. What do you say, Josh? Wanna drop in one time?
Yeah, if you want me to die right away.
Yes, we'll go easy on you. We'll bring you on a Monday customs.
Josh is the guy that what he does is he gets into, we were playing once and he got into the trucks and he was just running around honking the horn the whole time.
A little Bertha action. Oh, we love that.
I was like, oh, and he's like, come kill it. Cause he just wants the people to come in.
Bertha's strat is OP. Bertha's strat is OP. Yeah.
I think if we can get him into a Bertha, honestly, like if he can just drive us around, Josh, like that'd be all we really need. You just run people over then.
Yeah.
I think we'd be good.
I'll be your driver.
Perfect. Josh, got anything else here?
No, I think, as we wrap it up here, this is your kind of our open time. Laza, if you want to plug all your socials, where can everybody find you? All that good stuff.
Yeah. So I'm that ginger girl everywhere. Girl is spelled GRL. There's no I in it. Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, Pinterest, if you want to know what I'm pinning. I'm literally that ginger girl on everything. You can find me there. I read every single DM. I don't always respond right away or ever. You just have to remind me. I got a lot going on. You got to forgive me as a human being. But I do read absolutely everything, even the things that go into my other folders. I read them. So if you ever want to send me a message, know that I absolutely will see it.
All right. Well, Laza, it has been so much fun having you on. I feel like we definitely have to have you on again. I feel like one time isn't enough.
You know, it's funny you say that because I did a podcast once and it went on for 4 hours and I was like, is there a time limit? Like, I feel I could talk forever. And I know I ran with some of the questions that you guys asked. So thank you for letting me sort of go on these tangents. I sometimes find that you get a little nugget sometimes within every 20 minutes of me talking. So I appreciate that you guys let me get there. And thank you for all the great questions you asked and even just allowing me to be on. I feel very honored to be a part of it.
Thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, everybody, don't forget, please tune in to Laza. Like she said, that ginger girl, she runs customs on Mondays with the community, wine Wednesdays with Grapey, girls night on Thursdays. So, I mean, again, if you haven't already, get in. Awesome community, awesome vibes. Please, please, please do it. I promise you will not regret it. Laza, again, thank you. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely, you guys. Until next time.
Till next time, everybody. Adios.
Sancho. Bye.